WildTalkRadio.com.
All right. It's been a long time since I've done this, but here we go. Welcome to Monday Night Raw. Are you ready?
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw post show.
Monday Night Raw, it's here.
Featuring Sir Rockin.
He's here.
He's everywhere. And I can hear him now. Let him in.
And Lindsay Ward.
Yeah, well, I'm here to make something perfectly clear. The Queen is dead. And for the first time ever in Monday Night Raw history, I can rightfully say, long live the one, the only goddess of WWE.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Monday Night Raw.
It was a championship night on Monday Night Raw, and this is the Raw Post Show, presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211, along with, for all month long, supported by Manscaped.com. Go to Manscaped.com, use code WTRLive. You can save 20% off everything on the website. That includes the Lawnmower 3.0, the Nail Grooming Kit, the Ball Toner, the Boxers, whatever you choose. Manscaped.com, code WTRLive. Save 20% and free shipping. Your balls will thank you, and so will we, because that helps support us. If you buy some stuff, it helps us. And just buy someone stuff for the holidays from Manscaped.com. Please, please. We don't ask much. Do the thing. Anyway, I'm Sir Rocket, joined as always by Lindsay Ward.
I just saw the best name I think I've seen in a long time. Dick Strawbridge. That is a name, and that has a mustache to go with it. My God. It's brilliant. I love everything about it. Thank you, HGTV, for that. Anyway, hi! How you doing? It's Monday night! We're going to talk all about Monday Night Raw. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, this was the go-home to Survivor Series on Sunday. Sunday. So there was some weird shit that happened.
There was a lot of weird shit that happened on the show. Let's just start with the weirdest stuff. So Lana is backstage, and we are told she asked for a 6-person tag team match, where it'd be Asuka, Mandy, and Dana versus Shayna, Nia, and Lana. She wants to team with the people who have been beating her ass for 9 consecutive weeks. They told her, she sucks, don't tag in. Paraphrasing, but
I mean, that was basically it.
That's what it was. So they have this match, and of course, Lana tags herself in, loses. Nia goes, hey, you tried. That showed a lot of courage. You did good. You did good. Psych! Puts her through the table for the 9th consecutive week. Now.
Before we go on.
There's more.
Before we go on. Y'all, this... I don't want to criticize, but I'm going to because... God damn it, I can. It's the internet and I can scream on it if I want to. This feels so, like such lazy booking with her. Like, we're gonna keep putting her through tables till y'all love her. And honestly, she deserves better than that. Lana, honey, go be with your husband. Just go be with him, please. They'll do you better. Maybe. Okay, you can go on.
So last week, Nia Jax injured Mandy Rose. Yes, I said it. She injured her. No one's gonna actually tell you that's what happened, but she threw her out of the ring and... aggressively, and guess what? Mandy has a shoulder injury. You saw the tape on her arm. Then they had Reckoning attack Dana Brooke backstage. So they took Mandy and Dana, the team of Mandy and Dana, out of the Survivor Series match, and you had Shayna and Nia go, oh, that wasn't the plan. We only want to get rid of one of them and yada, yada, yada. Whatever. Doesn't matter. So now they're stuck with, in their words, they're stuck with Lacey Evans and Peyton Royce.
I mean, Peyton Royce is a solid pickup.
And Lacey's all right.
Here's my thing. This whole thing confused me because it was like, during the match, they took out Mandy Rose. And I'm like, what? Why would you hurt one of your Survivor Series team members? Like, I really don't understand the whole point of this match to begin with. Like, I get you're trying to do the go home for Survivor Series, but it's like, why are you going to have the five woman plus Asuka women's team face each other in a match? You have Shayna injure Mandy's shoulder further in the match. She's on the Survivor Series team. And then they put Lana through a freaking table for the 9th or 10th time the week before Survivor Series. And then it's like, why would you hurt, what, a third of your team before the pay-per-view? Now, the whole Reckoning, Mia Yim thing where she goes and beats people up, and I'm pretty sure she has a butt tattoo, by the way, because those shorts were a little short. But anyway, that makes sense. Like, her beating up Dana Brooke, that makes sense. And it achieved the end, which is it gets Dana and Mandy out of the match to begin with. And I'm kind of wondering if they maybe had a change of heart about it.
No,
or...
Mandy's legitimately hurt. You saw, I'm telling you, last week on the show, she got hurt when Nia threw her out of the ring and she landed on her shoulder. Her shoulder was taped up. She might not be badly injured, but they're going to keep her out of the ring because she's hurt.
Okay, well, that makes sense. But, like, why Dana?
Because they're a pair.
Are they?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for now.
For now, but they're a pair, so if you're taking out one, you might as well take out both and replace the team.
I mean, you don't have to.
You don't have to. You can just put Peyton in. You don't have to, but that's, yeah, I mean, that's their logical explanations.
I mean, it's kind of a wash between...
Ash, we all know it's called a tramp stamp. She was being nice about it.
Actually, no, a butt tattoo is not a tramp stamp. That is a cheek tattoo that I'm referring to.
Oh, okay. That one.
A
okay.
Tramp stamp
is the one, right above it.
Yeah. No, tramp stamp is lower back.
That's
right
what
above
I mean.
Your butt.
That's what I'm...
So, that is a tramp stamp. I am referring to a full-on ass cheek tattoo is right between her butt cheek and her thigh.
If you want me
to be entirely specific, and I believe it is black and white and floral. Anyway, moving on.
But I think she might also have a tramp stamp, I think.
I think she does. I don't know. I've never really paid attention.
Think she does? I don't remember.
I know Brock Lesnar does.
We all know Brock does.
Brock has an interesting tramp stamp. It's very strange.
He has many interesting tattoos.
He's a little weird. Moving on. I mean, Lacey, going back to the topic, Lacey and Dana are kind of a wash. In my opinion, they're both equally talented in the ring, and so I don't know. I just, this whole thing left me confused. Like, if Mandy is legitimately hurt, which I did not realize she's hurt, so that made sense that she's injured.
Mm-hmm. Or she's probably not barely injured, but I would assume her.
Yeah, they're just keeping her out just to be safe. So that makes sense that you took her out. I still don't agree you need to take Dana out, but okay, whatever. They're supposedly a match set. So you put the mismatch set in, which never should have been a mismatch set, because you never should have broken up the Iconics!
Which we've said for the 9th straight week.
Yeah. I mean, think about how awesome it would be that you put the Iconics in for Dana and Mandy Rose.
That would've
been
awesome.
Shayna's gotta put up with the Iconics. Good lord!
They keep pushing her because everyone likes her. She has a great personality.
I'm sure she's a lovely person. And I'm just going to leave it at that. Anyway, moving on, what's next?
The Raw Tag Team titles were on the line. New Day versus the Hurt Business.
I do not appreciate this at all. I mean, this is a great match. This is a wonderful match. But I do not appreciate the week before Survivor Series where I had been waiting for New Day versus the freaking Street Profits for a month, that they're going to be like, oh yeah, you know, the Hurt Business could, you know, potentially win the titles and go on to face Street Profits at Survivor Series. And I sat here and I was like, no, you will not do that to me. You will not break my heart in that manner and make me continue to wait for that match. There's too much invested in this at this point. You will give me the Street Profits versus New Day, so help me God. And thankfully they did. New Day retained. But for a second there, it's like, you bastard, you better not.
You knew they were changing one. So that one was secured. Anyway, backstage, we had AJ Styles, and he was trying to get his team all together, and he got them all shirts. Raw shirts. So they're a team. And he got them a warm-up match heading into Survivor Series. We also learned the big man could talk. AJ was dumbfounded. Wait, you can talk? Yeah. You spoke English? Yeah. Why didn't you ever tell me? You didn't ask.
A little cringy.
Yeah. Oh, well.
A little cringy. Like, the shirts was fine. It was a good act and everything. And it's basically team get along. And they're all getting along but not getting along kind of thing. They're doing better than the women's team. I'll give them that.
At least it made a good reason for them to actually have shirts. Because, you know, it's awkward when they have shirts here. But here, your captain, in quotations, gave out shirts.
And he's like, here, I got you guys a present. But yeah, the whole bodyguard thing was a little cringy. This is me it.
So it was Keith Lee, Braun Strowman, Riddle, and Sheamus against Retribution. Wouldn't you know it? Team Raw lost. Bodes well for Sunday.
Well, let's see what happens to Team SmackDown because they don't have to face Retribution.
But I guess the bigger story, oh my god, Retribution gotta win. Retribution gotta win, y'all.
I mean, it's about time. Good lord. Yeah, LaMans, it's very true. He said, goes to show you how far Retribution has fallen when they're considering a warm-up match, not to mention that they have a shocked look when they actually win. Please remember, because Rock reminded me of this, that at one point it was going to be Team WWE versus Team Retribution at Survivor Series. And now we're doing Team Raw versus Team SmackDown, and Retribution's just kind of there. That kind of says it all right there. Not say that wasn't good. It was fine. It was a good match, but it's just like, oh, y'all.
So, it's time to head to the Firefly Funhouse. Miz mentioned Bray Wyatt in the opening segment, which we'll talk about in a minute. But Bray and Alexa are talking. Bray talked about how Miz isn't so nice, and he wanted to help Miz with his issues, so he offered him a lesson in manners. And Alexa mentions it's Miz and Bray tonight. Bray says he didn't want him to repeat himself, because if he did, he'd see his bad side. But it's short notice, but thankfully, he has all his friends here to help him prepare for the match. Bray's wearing a blindfold and he's doing agility, I think it was, or something like that. And he headbutts the puppets. And then we have the spelling bee. And he was asked to spell jackass. And then he asked, can we use it in a sentence? And then they told him to spell it. And he spelled it M-I-Z. Then we had, I forget what the lesson was for this one, but you had Ramblin hooked up to a dartboard and he's saying, don't miss! Don't miss!
Bray missed. Or did he?
Or did he? It was a bullseye or a rabbit's heart. Thoughts?
This made me seriously consider just putting down the booze, and I wasn't even drinking. This was a trip and a half sober. Like, holy crap, because this was just, I don't even know if I can describe it. Like, I just can't. It was good. It was really, really good. It was really entertaining. It played to both Bray and Alexa's strengths. And it's like, oh, they're gonna let Bray wrestle. That's awesome. The boy needs to get in the ring. He needs to get in the ring and wrestle. So this is good. This is fine. I think we're all okay with this. But yeah, this was, I like this. I enjoy this. It was just a trip, right? Like, it was just a what the hell is going on right now type thing.
So Nikki Cross is backstage. She's looking for Alexa. Alexa comes out to introduce Bray. Nikki finds Alexa, and they're talking back and forth, and Alexa goes, you're right, Nikki, then slaps her right across the face and starts beating her up, and then they have to be pulled apart, and Adam Pearce is grabbing Alexa, and she's kicking and screaming, and all the faces. Bray comes out.
She's fine.
She's fine. Everything's fine. She smiles, and they go arm in arm to the ring as Bray Wyatt takes on The Miz.
No. The best part of this is when Bray comes out, she's all smiling and happy, and Adam Pearce very gently puts her down and lets her go and walks away. And they've still got hold of Nikki Cross, and Bray walks out and just stares down Nikki Cross. And it's like, Bray, Bray, no. Bray, you stay away from her. You can't handle two women. You can't. All right? Just stay the hell away from her. Killian will come find you and hurt you. But yeah, this part was really good. I like this. Again, it played to their strengths. And I'm going to wait to say my comment on this after we get done with the match.
Let's talk about the match.
The match was good. I like this. Alexis kind of haunting Miz, haunting Morrison, chasing Morrison around the ring. At one point, she tackled Morrison over the barricade.
That was fantastic. Big props.
Because, yeah, Morrison's, like, standing at ringside, and he's trying to distract Bray, and all of a sudden, there's just Alexa in his face, taking him over the barricade. And Bray's like, oh my god, Alexa! And he's calling to her. In the meantime, it's like, Bray, 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 match. Honey, match.
So Miz does his running clothesline in the corner, and Miz thinks, yeah, I got this. Yeah, 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 yeah.
And then, well, Bray's bad side.
Just stares right at him, grabs him, Sister Abigail, 1, 2, 3. We saw a lot more of the older Bray Wyatt in this one.
Yeah, we had the tap in the corner in the back bend. Couple Sister Abigails. He's sticking out his tongue. He's having a good time. He's feeling himself tonight. He's definitely feeling himself. And yeah, and this is not a commentary in a negative sense. It's they need to get Bray back in the ring.
They need to get a lot of people. There are people back in the ring. For this reason.
But it's Bray, like the rest of us, has put on the COVID-19, right? Like, I think all of us can safely say we've put on a little poundage since this whole pandemic started. And he's not traveling, and he's not wrestling every night, and he's not doing what he needs to do to keep the weight off. Because part of that is he just can't. Like, it doesn't matter how many matches he asks for, he's not going to get them. Because there's only so much TV time. So this is good that they had him out in the ring. Hopefully they have him wrestling more. Hopefully it helps him kind of get a little bit back in shape. And again, I'm not criticizing. Like, I'm not trying to, like, shame him or anything. But it's just, you can tell that the weight's affecting his performance a little bit. Like,
and it's not even the weight is a thing. Ring rust is going to be a thing if you're not actively competing. And he hasn't been actively competing on the regular, because The Fiend has not been wrestling. He wrestled Kevin Owens a few weeks ago, but by then he was, most of the summer he wasn't working. They did a lot of cinematic stuff. So it's like he was off for a year before all this. So him getting back in the ring without house shows, he needs to do it on TV more. And I know that's going to devalue some of the character, but that's why you have the regular Bray Wyatt and not have to throw The Fiend in there all the time. But Bray needs to get in the ring, work a few minutes just to work, because you gotta take bumps.
Well, and I think, again, it helps to progress Funhouse Bray. It helps to bring more variation to Funhouse Bray, because they focus a lot on The Fiend and less on Funhouse Bray, because for a long time, Funhouse Bray was a secondary character. He was the front-facing character for The Fiend, and essentially, Funhouse Bray managed, in quotations, The Fiend. He was the mouthpiece. He was the one that cut all the promos. He's the one that did everything, did all the visual stuff, and then The Fiend would show up. And The Fiend would murder people. Because The Fiend is largely nonverbal except for let me in. That's the only thing he really said. So that's why you have the other personality, in quotations, is so that way you have that speaking part, which Bray is so fantastically good at. And then you have the more violent wrestling personality. What I found very interesting about this is ever since Alexa has shown up, I begun to question who's really driving this, if you will. Is it The Fiend or is it Funhouse Bray? And I put this out on Twitter, but I'm kind of starting to wonder if they aren't setting Funhouse Bray up to be the one that's actually the one in control of everything versus The Fiend, like they have been having it for the past year, where they're like, The Fiend is the dominant personality. He's the one in control. He's the one running the show. Is he? Because I'm kind of wondering if he is. Because it seems like Bray Wyatt has control of Alexa Bliss, but he also has control of The Fiend. So could it be that Funhouse Bray is kind of coming to his own and he's gained that control and he's gained that ability to hold it over others again, because he had it for a long time and then he kind of lost it with, you know, a certain dive into a lake of reincarnation. So could And he kind of became somebody's bitch for a while.
Yes.
So could it be that maybe he's gotten it back? I don't know. I just find it really curious to see the change in the Funhouse character versus The Fiend, because The Fiend is weaker, and that's not the right word to use, but The Fiend is not as terrifying, I guess, with Alexa there.
More human.
He's more human, which means that it's almost like the Funhouse version of Bray has become a little bit more monstrous. It's a really interesting kind of thing going on that he's got going on. And it's really, really subtle what he's doing. And I love it. I love everything about it. I mean, it's beautiful. But yeah, they need to get Bray in the ring more. That's the point.
Long story short, he needs to wrestle more.
And I am here for him wrestling more. And I don't think it cheapens the Funhouse character for Bray to wrestle more. Because remember, when the Funhouse character first started, he didn't know how to fight. And now here he is kind of summoning kind of maybe the older Bray Wyatt, the swamp Bray Wyatt, the cult leader Bray Wyatt, to help him face The Miz. Because there's a lot of history between those two.
Yeah.
He's summoning that past self to help him face The Miz, because he was much more swamp leader Bray Wyatt than he was The Fiend, or he was Funhouse Bray. But it was an interesting cross of the two.
So Monday Night Raw, open with Drew McIntyre. Talked about Survivor Series being a Thanksgiving tradition. He's been in the U.S. for a third of his life, so he loves Thanksgiving. He loves the food and the family, the friends that we can all gather with. Yep, that's smart to say. McIntyre said he's also thankful for his doubters. He said when you set a goal that they don't believe in you and even talk trash. He said you have to work harder to prove them wrong. He said he held up three fingers and said you have to tell those doubters to read between the lines. Ha ha. McIntyre then talked about being on SmackDown. He said he was doing Reigns the favor by telling him that he doesn't have to worry about facing Randy. He said Reigns has to put himself on a pedestal and doesn't care about anyone else and has his head shoved up his own ass. And I'm going to humble that man. Randy Orton came on and talked about what he's thankful for. Being a WWE champion for 14 times. He is thankful that the fine that WWE gave him for putting his hands on Adam Pearce didn't faze him. He said that he's been fined and spent more than any wrestler has ever been under contract. He's been serving suspensions at home longer than 80% of the locker room that has spent in the ring. He said McIntyre said he is still in WWE and still the best because he's the greatest wrestler ever. Orton said he proved it again in their WWE Championship match, just as he did at He'll prove it again tonight in the title match, I should say, like he did at Hell in a Cell. He also, McIntyre said, I forgot to mention the last three most dangerous letters in the world, RKO. And McIntyre said he wouldn't fall off a Hell in a Cell structure this time. He would put Orton with a boot to the head and become WWE champion. There's more. Out came The Miz. As we mentioned, he had a role in the show. He came out as McIntyre was about to leave. Him and John Morrison did together. Plugged an episode, Ms. and Mrs. Thank you for telling me something's airing in 3 hours. Thanks, WWE. You can catch the episode later this week.
Because we have to make edits to it.
Thanks for the heads up. I salute you. McIntyre told Miz to imagine what he would do to him if he got involved in the match. Miz said the title could change hands tonight, and if it does, his hands will be on that belt. Miz asked Morrison why Bray Wyatt hides in the funhouse. Morrison says because Wyatt is afraid of him. Miz told McIntyre that change is coming whether he likes it or not. McIntyre said Orton can actually be a patient man, whereas he is not. McIntyre got closer to them. They backed away. Miz said McIntyre's lack of patience cost them the championship. He told McIntyre giving out title matches, including three to Orton. And then Miz mentioned he will walk out with the title at some point.
Miz, why are you talking shit about Bray?
We saw what it got you.
We saw exactly what it got you. So here's my thought. And I kind of wish it had happened tonight, but they can maybe possibly save it for Survivor Series. Since, you know, Miz will probably be looking for revenge against Bray based on what happened tonight. Or maybe he won't. You don't know. But say Miz challenges Bray for Sunday. Say Bray Wyatt makes Miz put up the money in the bank. Say Bray Wyatt takes the money in the bank off Miz. That kind of creates an interesting scenario, doesn't it?
It does.
Because it makes Bray Wyatt Mr. Money in the Bank. And the question is, he could cash in on Sunday, or rather, The Fiend could cash in on Sunday, and he could cash in on Drew, or he could cash in on Roman.
It's a scenario. It's not going to happen, but it's a scenario.
It's an interesting proposition to me. Like, it's kind of a fascinating proposition of if Bray Wyatt got a hold of the money in the bank, which he feasibly could, from Miz. Like, he tricks Miz, or he forces Miz, or he, like, basically, somehow he convinces Miz to put the title up, or put the money in the bank up. And instead of Bray Wyatt facing The Miz, it's The Fiend. And The Fiend comes out and just takes it from him, right? And he kills both Morrison and Miz in the process, which would then potentially force a character change for them, because they face The Fiend, and as we know, anytime anybody faces The Fiend, they change into an alternate personality, which would be a way to potentially turn Miz and Morrison face, if you wanted to. But it's a way to get Bray Wyatt on the show, because he's not on Survivor Series, which is why. And it's another match, because as far as I know,
There's six matches on that. Six matches and a big segment.
I feel like you could throw one more in there and be okay.
But they're not going to.
Can we talk about the big segment for a second?
No, we can do that Thursday.
No, I just need to say one thing about the big segment. And this is to the WWE's graphics department. Okay, number one. Big fan. Huge amount of respect, guys. I love everything you guys do, but I need to ask a very, very serious question. Who in the hell went through the image library of the 50 billion pictures that you guys have of The Undertaker? Who decided, yeah, let's do the wig picture for WrestleMania 28? Let's do that one. That seems like a really good option. Why the hell are you guys doing that to him? He does not deserve that after 30 years in this company. He did not deserve to have the graphic image you used for him to be the wig. Or at the very least, trim that bitch down in Photoshop. Good lord. I'm good. I'm done. I just had to say that. Like, I just had to get that out. Like, out of all the images they have of Mark Calloway. Because God knows they have enough of 30 years of that man. I mean, at the very least, have Michelle pin him down and just take a picture of him. It's not hard.
So Drew McIntyre found a box backstage and had it killed and other things. And then Sheamus walked up and gave him a sword.
I was going to say, was this Drew's no-no box? Was this the Kiki box that he and Sheamus use when they get together? I'm just very curious.
Yes.
So this was his dress-up outfit.
Because Drew McIntyre came out dressed up for his WWE title match against Randy Orton with a big fireworks display and a sword and fire and flames and everything. And
he did the kilt strip, y'all. I'm extremely happy.
He got a WrestleMania-like entrance for Monday Night Raw, and wouldn't you know it, a WrestleMania-style entrance gets you back your championship. By the way, poor Randy's back.
Oh my god, can somebody please get Randy a Band-Aid and some Advil? Because he went through that table and his back got cut open the hard way, and he was hurting the rest of the match, and they had so many of the spots where he drops onto his back planned, and he had, you could just see the regret in his face every single time he had to hit it, because he's like, god damn it, I don't want to, but I have to. And then he would do the move, and he would not be happy for a second. So yeah, poor Randy. Poor Randy's back.
And yes, poor, there went his title reign. Up in flames.
I think we always knew Randy's title reign was going to be transitional. Like, it was never going to be long, but it was enough to sort of, like, reinvigorate the product, and it was enough to reinvigorate Drew, because Drew is, at least in my opinion, better when he chases, especially after a long time of having the title, because it lights a fire under him to get it back. And I will admit that since, you know, he was chasing, he was better. I don't understand why you would do this a week before Survivor Series. I get they did it to Brian, and like we said in the pre-show, they did it to Brian, and then Brian got murdered. Legit murdered by Brock Lesnar.
He didn't get murdered. He held his own for a while.
For 2 seconds.
No,
then he got murdered.
Yeah, he got a few minutes of offense, and they removed AJ, put Brian in there, it worked.
The only thing I can figure, and it's like, you were telling the story between Randy and Roman, you had a good story there, and maybe that's the reason they're doing this, is you have Orton, who's a third generation wrestler, he comes from a wrestling dynasty, Roman is a second, third generation wrestler, I'm not sure which, I think he's at least second.
Who?
Roman. Is he second or third? That one's tricky, given the family ties. I think he was Alpha's father a wrestler?
I don't know. It's...
Anyway, Roman comes from a multi-generational wrestling dynasty. So you have those two there. They're really on equal footing. And so it's like you had kind of a built-in story there, because Roman can't pull this whole I'm the head of the table bullshit with Randy. Because Randy can look at him and be like, oh really, so am I. You want to fight? Or what? Because he doesn't care. Because Randy's, like, so secure in his position at this point that it's like, I don't really give a shit, let's just go. Right? That's Randy Orton at this point. He's like, whatever. Let's fight. And so the only thing I can figure with this is that they wanted to save Randy and Roman for later, or they're trying to purposely keep them apart. But that being said, I don't understand why you're putting the title on Drew the week before the pay-per-view with no build. I get people want to see Drew and Roman. For me personally,
I mean, they did the build Friday on SmackDown.
Is that enough, though?
According to them, I assume Drew's on SmackDown.
Yeah, he almost has to be.
I assume that's what's happening.
No, the rumor is they're pointing Edge at someone else.
Let him in.
Excuse
me. Something was stuck in my throat.
Yeah, something got stuck in your throat. It was very weird. But yeah, so it's like, it's going to be fine. Like, it's going to be a good match. And I don't ultimately have a problem with it. But it's just, like I said, my issue is you're changing the title the week before the pay-per-view where you've been building with Orton. And Drew has been building on SmackDown. But it's like, because they've kept Drew, like, right there with Roman. And we kind of should have maybe seen the writing on the wall, but I don't know. This kind of was like, really? Really? We're gonna, okay. I would have saved Drew and Roman for something bigger like Mania, but all right, go off, do your thing. It'll be fine. It'll be good. Well, we'll get there, Ash. We'll talk about it.
Okay. Yeah. We went over the match. It was a good match. Okay. So Randy Orton tried to leave, and then Authority figure Pierce decided, hey, it's no count out, no disqualification. So that's why it turned into a better match.
I mean, personally, if Randy wanted to leave and they wanted to put Bray Wyatt on for the last 24 minutes of Raw, I would have been fine with that. But clearly nobody wants to listen to what I want. So here we are.
So anyway, that was Raw.
That was Raw. This was a good show. It was a good build to Survivor Series. Like I said, they did some confusing things. I'm not sure why they did it, but we got Bray Wyatt to wrestle, and we had multiple Undertaker commercials, and then they did him dirty with that goddamn wig graphic. I don't even know why you would do that. Why? Why, y'all? Just why? He doesn't deserve that.
And I think it's very clear SmackDown's going to be looking strong at Survivor Series.
I think so. I really think so. I think that's going to be a thing.
Which we'll talk about Thursday on the Rack.
That's all right. Tune in, because Thursday nights we'll be doing news, notes, NXT, all your favorites. Plus, we are talking and previewing Survivor Series. And I will sit here and cry about The Undertaker preemptively, because yes, it is The Undertaker's final farewell on Sunday. My old man is leaving me for good. Maybe. So we're going to talk about it Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
Well, the Rack Extra Reviews, Ms. and Mrs. at some point, I guess a couple of them this week. Thanks to me, being a little more heads up would be great notice.
Okay, all right. I'm going to stipulate this on this show in case anybody's wondering why. So, we have pre-recorded episodes of Ms. and Mrs. that we've already seen, that we got way back in like January and February, and those are the ones that they're airing right now. And the problem is that they are not airing them in the order that they've been recorded, so we are having to go back and recut and re-record parts of those shows to release them out in the order that they're supposed to be in. So the ones where they say, hey, we're dropping an extra episode, yeah, those are going to be late because we're finding out last minute, and we have to go back and re-record them and recut them.
Mrs. Promo told me it was happening.
Yeah, we found out during Raw, and it was like, well, it's not ready. And what happened last week was like we found out at 5 o'clock on Monday that they were doing it, and we were able to get that one out because we re-recorded it essentially during Raw. So, yeah, there's going to be some like variations, especially with the ones that aren't being released outside of the normal schedule, because
who knows?
We don't know what's coming.
Okay, so here's the thing. Then they air commercials that it's just airing on Thursdays. But no, let's throw in bonus episodes. Then I go to the website. Oh, look, it says Monday 11 and Thursdays at 10:30. Like, that's helpful. Anyway, speaking of Rack Extras, the Rack Extra Reviews Brothers of Destruction will be available this week as well.
Yes, we're going to record that because that special dropped, and I'm super excited about it. But yes, go check out Ms. and Mrs. Go check out the Brothers of Destruction. I can speak. Special. And Manscaped.com. Code WTR Live. 20%. Go check it out. Plus free shipping. Go buy. Holidays are coming. Bye, 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 bye.
Saturday night, midnight edition, Super Radio, SuperLive.com, GreaterThanGreatDebate.com. I have an interesting debate for Saturday. Should be good. Should be good. Sunday night, Wrestle Talk Radio, right after Survivor Series, to review everything that goes down on the show, because there's going to be a lot of things about the Final Fantasy more. And we're back next Monday night for a Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. It's at Wild Talk Radio. Follow that on Twitter, Facebook.com/WildTalkRadio. If Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account, it's called Prime Gaming. You can subscribe for free by hitting that purple rectangle button below the screen. You can use credit card Rocket Sock and Fortnite Night Shop. Venom is coming to Epic in Fortnite, so hashtag ad. Epic partner. As Lindsay mentioned, go to manscaped.com. Use code WTLive, save 20% off, get free shipping. We would greatly appreciate it. That code is available all month long. Use the code all month long. We would appreciate it. Your turn.
You can follow me on most of the social medias at Lindsay Ward, LANSWARD.
has been the Raw Post Show, presented as always by Manscaped.com and MBG Films, YouTube.com/MBG1211. We'll see you Thursday night for the Rack. Right back here next Monday night for the Raw Post Show. Live across the airwaves of the Wild Talk Radio Network. Right here at WildTalkRadio.com and Twitch.tv/WTRLive.
WildTalkRadio.com.